than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year Yorgage is 3.25%. APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS.
Welcome back or welcome in to the Todd Bromelkamp Show right here on 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM, and 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency. You can even catch us online at kgymradio.com. Just click the Listen Live link. Don't forget, while you're there on our website, vote in the poll question today. Will the UNI Panthers make the FCS playoffs this year? Media Day in Cedar Falls earlier today, Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press-Citizen will join us in hour number three to talk about what we learned about Mark Farley and the Panthers today. See, that's what you get for making fun of the Kirk Ferentz. We weren't really making fun of it, but we're talking about Kirk Ferentz being inserted into the obituary, the photo of Ferentz inserted into the obituary of the 87-year-old business magnate. And then here we go. Let's kick off hour number two with a bang and a tongue twister.
It happens, Todd. You know that.
The karmic retribution from the sports talk radio gods for spending an hour not talking about sports. Kyle came in to upload the podcast of hour number one,
which is available,
to the website, and said, he's always going to come up with a description for what we talked about, and he was reaching today, because I think you guys talked about one sports subject, and we did mention that Ara Parseghian had died, but I don't want somebody trawling the internet coming across, you know, searching for Ara Parseghian dying. Oh, yeah, I'll listen to this podcast. These guys talking about the legendary Notre Dame coach passing away. No, you get stories about making nuns cry and writing your name in blood.
Would you like to hear the description of what our podcast, the description under our podcast at kgymradio.com?
Knock me out. This is the sales pitch. This is, you get a couple lines of text. Somebody stumbles on your website. You get a couple lines of text to hook them in and say, oh man, holy cow, I got to listen to that. Here's the sales pitch.
Todd and Alex collect stories Todd and Alex collect stories about how listeners got suspended or sent to the principal.
Click. I'm downloading. You should too. KGYMradio.com. 6 o'clock showdown on the way tonight. We've got presumably Cedar Rapids Colonels tickets to play for. The Colonels continue their homestand tonight, taking on the Kane County Cougars at 6:35 at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Butch Hobson, the former manager of the Boston Red Sox, now the manager of the Kane County Cougars.
How did that happen?
That's a rather precipitous fall from managing in the major leagues, and like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, to managing a Class A baseball team. Now, this is a four-pack of tickets tonight to see the Colonels and the Quad Cities River Bandits on Friday, August 11th. It's a Z102.9 Mug Club night. So I believe one of the last Mug Club nights of the year. Can't be too many of them left. We're in the final. The final month, full month of the Midwest League baseball season. Football is, the Big Ten opener is August 30th, right?
The 31st, I believe that would be.
31st, Thursday night. Yep. You've got Minnesota, I think, plays that night. Indiana and Ohio State, which is a highly anticipated game among Indiana fans because Kevin Wilson Their former head coach is the new offensive coordinator there. And I do want to mention really quickly today, I got a phone call this morning and was informed of the passing of Ed Magone, who's a colleague of mine, was the editor and general manager of Inside Indiana, and I worked very closely with him, and he passed away this morning, and there's some really nice tributes to him online today, and Ed was a really good guy, and it's never fun to get those types of phone calls, but did a great job of covering Indiana athletics, and will definitely be missed on the Indiana beat, as well as by his friends all across the Big Ten. 319-366-1600. We're moving on from the in-school, out-of-school suspensions, and I don't know if we'll get to the other non-sports thing I wanted to talk about today or not. But
we can save that one if we have to, right?
Well, it happened yesterday, so I thought maybe there was shelf life to it, but perhaps it's like the fruitcake of topics, and it will last long enough. But I do want to get to this because last night I was watching, and I mentioned listening to the Cubs game, and Jeff Joniak, who calls Bears games, was filling in for Pat Hughes last night. And other than calling former Colonels pitcher Patrick Corbin Patrick Cohen for half an inning, I thought he did an excellent job. Cubs won big last night over the Diamondbacks, put up 16 runs, beat them 16-4. And John Lester gets his 2,000th career strikeout in that game. Lester was dealing last night. I don't know. I'm assuming you probably didn't watch this game, but Lester had it going last night. 9 strikeouts. The problem is he only lasted 4 innings because his pitch count got high. It was a hot, muggy night at Wrigley Field. Cubs are leading the division. Pitch count gets up there. Got into a little bit of trouble in the 5th inning with base runners. And so Joe Maddon errs on the side of caution and takes John Lester out of the game. So the official line on him in the box score is 4 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, all of them earned, 3 walks, 9 strikeouts. And he lowers his season ERA to 3.96. Hector Rondon comes in, pitches an inning and 2/3, followed by Brian Dunsing, and then Mike Montgomery pitched the final 3 innings of the game last night. Who gets the win? Hector Rondon, because he was the pitcher of record in the 5th inning, because starters have to go 5 innings to get a win. Now,
can't the scorekeeper choose at that point, though?
I was under the impression that after the 5th inning, if the team comes back and it's a blowout or something like that, there is scorer's discretion, but apparently not in this instance.
So the pitcher has to go 5 innings regardless. So if the pitcher doesn't go 5 innings, the scorer can't give the win to the starting
The official
pitcher.
Score, and correct me if I'm wrong here, texters, you always do, 366-1600, is that when it comes to a gaggle of relief pitchers, the official scorer sometimes has the discretion to assign the win to whatever reliever he felt had pitched the best. So you can look and say, well, that was a real dog meat game. Nobody really deserves the win, but that relief pitcher, you know, threw 2 1/3 innings, didn't allow a run. He's going to get the win. I've never been one of these people that's been overly anti-stat, but in the baseball world right now, you've got a lot of people out there that are saying the save is a stupid statistic. And it kind of is. I mean, Mike Montgomery got a save last night for pitching 3 innings. So Montgomery gets a save when Lester can't get a win, which is just kind of bizarre. But one of the statistical categories that's in the crosshairs of people like Brian Kenny at MLB Network is the win. They think the win is not a good statistic. And I really couldn't care less about this argument, but last night finally was sort of the eye-opener for me. That's a good illustration of John Lester, even though he didn't go five innings, should probably be credited with a win last night, right? Now, I know what the rule book says, but if you were leaving it up to the discretion of any person scoring that game, who deserved the win? Hector Rondon for pitching an inning and two-thirds? Or Lester for going four with nine strikeouts? I mean, he looked great last night. For the majority of the game, he just ran into some issues with a pitch count, and Maddon decided to err on the side of caution. 319-366-1600 is the win over, not overrated, outdated? Is that what I'm looking for? Is the win an outdated statistic? 319-366-1600.
I think the win is a statistic that is outdated no matter how anybody would receive it. For example, the NFL, if you start a game, you either get the win. If you start the game as a quarterback and throw one pass, you get knocked out of the game. If your team wins, you get the win. If your team loses, you get the loss. I think baseball tried to come up with a way to curb that a little bit by putting the rules in place. You have to go five innings. You have to be leading at that point. Your team can't give up the lead, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like we get into this argument all the time when we're talking about players, and not just in baseball. I hate to bring this up, but the Tebow trolls, all he does is win, even though he completed 45% of his passes. The point I'm trying to get at, wins and losses, I don't think tell a good enough story to judge a player off of, to where you're giving a player a big contract, you're playing a player over somebody else in any sport. So I think it's kind of just there in this case to, I'm not necessarily sure why it's there. I don't think it's a statistic that tells exactly the story of how good a pitcher has performed during the course of a regular season or during the course of a postseason. It's just there for entertainment. And the good thing for baseball people, and we had Keith Law, someone who really thinks that the win is an outdated statistic on about a month ago, I think people are starting to get over judging a pitcher based on wins and losses. I think that any direction you go with this, if you say, okay, well, if a starting pitcher goes three innings and gives up six runs and his team scores nine and he's leading when he leaves and he's leading the game when he leaves, it's still not going to tell the story of how a pitcher performs. I think that the wins and losses during the course of any sport, any athlete you're judging wins and losses off of, especially in a team game, it's not going to tell a big story.
The text line right now is upset that I said Lester lowered his ERA last night. If he pitched four innings and gave up three earned runs and his ERA is 3.96, it went up. So I will correct the record there. He did not lower his ERA. Now the text line can sleep tonight. Matt in Center Point, I completely agree with this. In his fantasy baseball league, they use quality starts over wins. A quality start is six or more innings, three runs or less.
Right. So in this case, he wouldn't have registered a quality start.
Yeah, wouldn't have helped Lester anyway, who, by the way, also hit a home run last night. I feel like we're burying the lead there because he started his major league career, I think it was 0 for 66, 0 for 67, something like that. Had the reputation of being a very bad hitter. But he got a hold of one last
night.
Spoiler
alert, that may or may not come up during the 6 o'clock showdown.
Well, I'm convinced at this point that we could do a show where we mention all 14 things on the 6 o'clock showdown and the final score would be 2-1. It pays to pay attention, and then it pays to just sort of be lucky and your opponent doesn't know what's going on. But we'll see where it goes. 319-366-1600 is the win outdated.
This is
hot takery at its best.
If you had it your way, would that be the case where if a pitcher leaves the game leading and their team ends up winning, never relinquishes the lead, they get the win?
Ryan in West Liberty makes a really good point. I don't know if you watched the Red Sox-Indians game last night, which give me that in the American League Championship Series. I think it would be terrific, and I need the Indians to get back to the World Series because that was my prediction at the beginning of the year, the Indians over the Mets. At least one of those teams still has a chance at this point. But Ryan says the win is silly. Craig Kimbrell, blew a save last night, but got the win when the Red Sox walked off. Kimbrell put the team in a position to lose, but he gets the win. That doesn't make sense. And he's vulturing a win from somebody else who deserved it more than he did. And I'm in the same sort of boat with saves. I think especially since the bullpens have become so specialized now, where to me, a hold, which is the statistic that they assign to a pitcher anywhere between, the starter leaves the game and he's got the lead and you hang on to it and then the closer comes in and gets all the glory, the seventh and eighth inning guys, as long as they hold the lead, they get credited for a hold. I think what they do is just as valuable as the guy who works the ninth inning. He just gets the benefit of working the ninth inning.
That's what guys like Brian Kenny, who think of the game and the way that they do, say about the save. They think it's worse probably than the win statistic because it directly affects decisions that managers make. For example, last year, the Baltimore Orioles, Buck Showalter decides not to use his best reliever, Zach Britton, in a situation because the game was tied. Why did he not do that? Because he was following a meaningless statistic, the save. Oh, you only bring your closer in when it's a save situation, when you have the lead, even though you're in the middle of a one-game playoff, it's tied, and the Blue Jays' best hitters are coming to the plate. Nope. You can't use the closer in that situation. It just doesn't make sense. When you, let's just say you're in the eighth inning, and you have the other team has 3, 4, 5 coming to the plate. And you have a one-run lead, wouldn't you bring in your best reliever to face the other team's best hitters? No, because a lot of managers are worried about the closer being in the ninth in a save situation. So I think the save is probably even more meaningless than a win.
And we've been hearing this now for the better part of the last year and a half that we're heading toward, well, Andrew Miller is the best reliever in baseball, and Terry Francona uses him in the seventh or the eighth,
right,
whenever he needs him. Well, Andrew Miller is also not the quote-unquote closer on that team. Cody Allen is. And by the way, Miller's on the disabled list as of today. So if you're an Indians fan, that's really unfortunate news to hear. But yet again, as you mentioned, the Buck Showalter example, which I think is something that people will go back to again and again and again until a manager does. Basically, a manager's worst nightmare is getting second-guessed by fans and the media. And look, if you use Britton in that situation and it backfires, what's going to happen? You're going to get second-guessed. So he doesn't use him, waits, and then
never uses him.
Never gets the chance to use him. Buck Showalter, by the way, and this is something that snuck up on me, but this week tied Earl Weaver for all-time managerial wins. Now, Buck has managed in New York and Arizona and I believe Texas as well. Earl was the Earl of Baltimore. I mean, he did it all with the Orioles, but that's impressive. Buck Showalter is one of those managers that I think is a little bit better than people tend to give him credit for. I mean, if the Yankees would have stuck with Buck Showalter instead of Joe Torre, I think they're probably as equally as successful during their run in the 90s and the early 2000s. Just give that roster to just about any competent manager, and they're going to win, which is why Joe Torre is now in the Hall of Fame. And just
he certainly didn't do it as the manager of the Cardinals. That's for
sure.
Or
the Braves, or the Mets, or the Dodgers.
Or the Dodgers. People forget about that.
He went to the Dodgers after the Yankees and was okay, got him to the postseason, but never got them over the hump. Wins, saves, I think there's a better way. Now, the text line says, give the win to the pitcher in a blowout no matter what. When Lester came out of the game last night after four, the Cubs were up 8-1. At that point, has he not done his job in putting his team in a position to win that game? This is an example from last night because it clicked for me. If I'm watching the Padres and the Twins, I think that's the series that's going on right now. I was just going to say the Padres and the Pirates are take two random teams, but then somebody on the text line would be like, they're not playing each other. Thank you very much. The example would be I'm watching a random game and, oh, this is a travesty. I don't necessarily think I would believe that, and I'm not losing any sleep over the fact that Lester didn't get a win last night, but it underscores the argument of those people like Keith Law and Brian Kenny that this statistic is kind of ridiculous. And relatively speaking, it's arbitrary. And I think last night's a really good example of that. Now, when I was a kid, statistics have come and gone in baseball. People decide to pay attention to them. People decide they're not important. When I was a kid, there was a statistic on the back of baseball cards for hitters. They kept track of game-winning RBI. And Alex is looking at me like,
when was this?
I'm speaking in Sanskrit or something here. This was in the 80s. And then they realized, well, that's kind of really an arbitrary statistic that doesn't really matter. Who game-winning RBI? Okay. And it just sort of...
in the first inning, that could come in the fourth inning.
Right. It sort of became just extinct. It disappeared from the backs of baseball cards.
I want to find a baseball card with that statistic on it.
Oh, I'll bring you one in. Speaking of, I bought all over the place today. People are at home going, how many more vacation days does he have? He should take them. I was at Target the other day, and I still, from time to time, you know this about me, I still, from time to time, if I see a box of baseball cards, I will pick them up just for something fun to do, and occasionally you pull a card that might be worth $5,000. The market, by the way, on that card's gone down a little bit, but I'm...
The average is below 300.
No. Add another zero. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about
the Aaron Judge
Aaron
card.
Judge's yeah. average has gone below 300.
Yeah. Well, the card is still selling really well, just not as high as it was. So I bought a box yesterday of Topps baseball cards called Allen and Ginter, which are made to look like they're 120 years old. And the big, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, within the last like 15 years, it's become a big thing to put memorabilia into the, like a little piece of the uniform or a piece of a bat. And the Allen and Ginter set has people who aren't necessarily baseball players in it. People from other sports, people from other walks of life. I got what's called a relic card last night of ESPN's Jason Stark. It's a piece of his suit.
How much is that one going for?
It's on eBay right now for 99 cents. 528, we will step aside. When we come back, Kyle's going to bring you a big board update. You're listening to the Todd Brummelkamp Show. More after this.
Here's some thrilling news from the Iowa State Fair. Save on rides with the all-new Advanced Thrill Pass digital wristband, available online at iowastatefair.org. Use your wristband at Thrillville, home of the newest, fastest, and most thrilling amusement rides. Use it at Thrill Town, a totally separate ride area perfect for little fairgoers and their families. Nothing compares to the thrills of the Iowa State Fair, August 10th through the 20th in Des Moines. And nothing compares to the thrilling savings you'll get when you purchase your Advanced Thrill Pass digital wristband. Get all the details about wristband offers at iowastatefair.org. Available through August 9th. And for special savings on advanced admission tickets, visit iowastatefair.org.
Nothing compares to the thrills at the Iowa State Fair.
You had one job, come up with a jingle that sells you on the Iowa State Fair. Nothing compares. Okay, I'm not going to go there. We need a jingle for the jingle to the Midwest One Big Board Update, right? Midwest One, where you're the one. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa women's basketball team got a commitment today from a familiar name, that being Iowa City West forward Logan Cook. She averaged 15 points and 6 rebounds as a junior last season and will continue a Cook legacy in Iowa City. Her father, Marv, was a tight end at Iowa under Hayden Fry, and brother Drew will be a redshirt sophomore on the football team. Former Linmar Lion and North Carolina Tar Heel Marcus Page struck a deal today with the Charlotte Hornets on a two-way contract. The two-way contract concept is new to the NBA and allows the Hornets to hold Page's rights while he plays primarily for their G League affiliate in Greensboro, but also gives them the freedom to use him on the NBA squad for up to 45 days. The Colonels beat the Clinton Lumber Kings last night 8-7 in 11 innings. With Travis Blankenhorn at the plate, a passed ball allowed Joe Cronin to score the walk-off run from third. They also made another move today, bringing in infielder Jordan Gore from Elizabethton, trading places with George Munoz as he returns to Elizabethton after a short stint in Cedar Rapids. They'll open a three-game series with the Kane County Cougars today with Evan Sanders on the mound opposite Sam McWilliams and first pitch set for 6:35. The UNI football team held their media day this afternoon, and we'll hear all about that when Dargan Southard joins us in Hour 3, also at 6:35. And the Twins played an afternoon game today with the Padres. They won 5-2. So you can keep it here for some futuristic ESPN programming after our show.
Why have over 3 million guys switched to Harry's Razors? Because at Harry's, we give you less. We make just one razor with 5 German-engineered blades.
Ding!
All you need for a smooth and comfortable shave.
Ah.
And we got rid of upcharges. By owning the factory and cutting out the middleman, we're able to sell our high-quality blades for half the price of the other guys.
Ka-ching!
Now we're dropping the half-price sound effects guy.
Wait, why?
Not everyone can give you high quality for a fraction of the price. Harry's. One perfect razor. None of the extra noise. As a special offer for radio listeners, get an $18 shave set with an added bonus for free when you visit harrys.com and use code 4343 at checkout. Just cover a few bucks for shipping. That's harrys.com, code 4343 for a free shave set offer. Again, it's harrys.com, code 4343. Please note, no sound effects guys were harmed in the making of this radio recording.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown with breaking news. Tigers right-hander Justin Verlander did not get traded before Monday's deadline, but it could still happen. Today, the team waived Verlander, and if he clears waivers, there could be a trade if Verlander approves it. Right now, the Tigers are waiting out a rain delay in New York, leading the Yankees 2-0 in the eighth inning. Finals today, the Twins beat the Padres 5-2. Irvin Santana with a complete game for his 12th win, and he drives in two. And the Blue Jays beat the White Sox 5-1 in Chicago. Indians and Red Sox at Fenway Park tonight, the game on ESPN Radio and TV. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports Texans wideout Will Fuller suffered a broken collarbone in practice today. He'll be out indefinitely. Dolphins running back Jay Ajayi missed practice today with a concussion. He left Monday's practice early after taking several hard hits. Free agent guard Gerald Henderson Jr. needs left hip surgery. He'll probably miss the upcoming season. The issue is a recurring one for Henderson. He was cut by the 76ers in late June.
Colin Kaepernick remains unsigned as we inch closer to the season. Would it be better for him to wait until a team needs him in the regular season? We'll ask Damian Woody when he joins Mike and Mike Thursday morning at 8:30 on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Come rock the chalk in downtown Iowa City. This unique chalk art event is presented by Midwest One Bank, and the fun is free for the whole family. Come see beautiful chalk art displays, pick up some chalk and create your own masterpiece, and enjoy excellent live music. Join in this family celebration of creativity Friday, August 11th at the corner of Clinton and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Chalk this one up to a super duper time with Midwest One. Get all the details at rockthechalkic.com.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
The Colonels have fireworks sponsored by Bank of the West this Friday night. But that's not the only firepower we have in store for our fans. It's also Superhero Night. See Captain America, Batgirl, Black Widow, The Flash, and Hawkeye at the game. And the first 1,000 fans receive a superhero hat sponsored by Electronics Engineering. Visit Colonels.com for more information or to order tickets.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Why have over 3 million guys switched to Harry's razors? Because at Harry's, we give you less. We make just one razor with 5 German-engineered blades.
Ding!
All you need for a smooth and comfortable shave.
Ah.
And we got rid of upcharges. By owning the factory and cutting out the middleman, we're able to sell our high-quality blades for half the price of the other guys.
Ka-ching!
Now we're dropping the half-price sound effects guy.
Wait, why?
Not everyone can give you high quality for a fraction of the price. Harry's. One perfect razor. None of the extra noise. As a special offer for radio listeners, get an $18 shave set with an added bonus for free when you visit harrys.com and use code 4343 at checkout. Just cover a few bucks for shipping. That's harrys.com, code 4343 for a free shave set offer. Again, it's harrys.com, code 4343. Please note, no sound effects guys were harmed in the making of this radio recording.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Stop by and pick up Shell Rotella Heavy Duty Motor Oil for $13.99 per gallon at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Protect from sludge and wear and extend the life of your engine with Shell Rotella Heavy Duty Motor Oil, $13.99 a gallon at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Geico presents a voicemail from your friend, Tree.
Tree here, just calling to say thanks for letting me crash at your place the other night. Well, on your place. It was a rough night. I had a bit too much wind, and I think I might have broke your chimney, actually. So, yeah. Any chance you'd want to drop off my tire swing? Yeah. I mean, if not, that's cool. Okay, later.
Trees won't pay for tree damage. Luckily, one call to the Geico Insurance Agency makes it easy to switch and save on homeowners insurance.
Welcome back in. It is 5:36, the Todd Brummel Camp Show at the halfway point, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight on 107.5 FM, our North Gym in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press-Citizen said to join us in hour number three. It was media day today in Cedar Falls for Mark Farley and the UNI Panthers. Will the Panthers make the FCS playoffs this year? Yes or no? That's the poll question at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Check them out on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. I don't have a particular feeling one way or the other on that, but maybe Dargan can shed some light on the poll question when he joins us tonight in hour number three. Also, the 6 o'clock showdown on the way as well. We've got tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels take on the Quad Cities River Bandits next Friday night. That's August 11th. The Z102.9 Mug Club, your opportunity to enjoy a $6 mug of beer at the start of the game, and then it's $3 refills all night. It's a dollar more for craft beer drinkers. And we certainly know that you are out there as well. So $7 and then $4 refills. River Bandits, the Class A affiliate of the Houston Astros. Maybe BJ and Marion, if he's eligible to win, will be calling in to try to see if he can compete on the 6 o'clock showdown. That's hour number three, though. We're still in hour number two of the program as we left things abruptly with a Midwest One Bank Big Board update and Kyle Mann. We're talking about the win as a statistic in Major League Baseball and whether or not it's really relevant in this day and age. We switch gears, though, from baseball, to basketball, because Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa Hawkeyes are practicing right now at Carver Hawkeye Arena. They've got that big European trip that's coming up, and they had a media availability earlier this afternoon. Unfortunately, we couldn't be there because we're on the air, but I feel like we're stuck in a rock and a hard place, because either we wait and we talk about it tomorrow and then it's over 24 hours old, or you talk about it now while it's fresh in everybody's mind, but maybe I don't have the greatest grasp of what was said and what was discussed because I couldn't be there in the room because of what time things went down. Now, God forbid, in this era of blogs and everything, that hasn't stopped anybody from being an expert. But I always like to try to be there either at media days or in the room so that I can at least know what's going on and I can say, well, I was there. When somebody says, well, that's an awful take, you can say, well, it's an awful take, but at least it's educated. I was there.
You know the context for everything that was said if you're there.
Exactly. So I don't know much of the context about what was said today with Fran McCaffrey and the media, but it certainly sounds as if there's a loose plan going into the European trip, which is later this month. The Hawkeyes are going to play 4 games while they're over there and spend a little bit of time in Germany, where Dom Juul is from. And they've got to replace Peter Jok, and that's about it. As we talked about on Friday's program, 25% of your scoring, 15% of your minutes, for the most part.
That's all him.
That's pretty much all him. And you get the two new guys coming in Garza and Nunji. They get 10 practices, and so they're making the most of this time working out. Today, I believe, is practice number 8, and then nothing tomorrow. They'll practice on Friday and Saturday. Those will be practices 9 and 10.
Now, I want to know, because these last 2 years that we've had an off-season press conference, or there's been a media availability in Iowa City with Fran McCaffrey, there have been certain comparisons made. And Luca Garza, I think, drew comparisons to Kevin McHale.
Yeah.
Tyler Cook, I don't think he drew any comparisons, but he was talking about him as definitely a future possible first-round draft pick. Were there any comparisons made today or high expectations for any of the young guys?
I don't think directly, but basically Fran McCaffrey said there's going to be lots of guys who are getting their chance to get some shots, that there's no real hard and fast lineup that they're going to be using on this trip, and that I think maybe they're going to be open to a little bit of experimentation for the most part. Outside of that, there wasn't a ton of news to be taken out of this. I know Rob Howe from Hawkeye Nation was one of the people that was there, and I was trying to follow along on his timeline earlier. Also, speaking of people who were there, I understand that Patrick McCaffrey was there, the younger brother of Connor McCaffrey, who's now a member of the basketball program, but Fran's son, who's a highly regarded recruit in the 2019 class. Joe Wieskamp of Muscatine, who's going to be in the 2018 recruiting class, was there. And Xavier Foster, who's a 2020 recruit. So some future Hawkeyes in attendance to take in this practice today at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And, I don't know, outside of what we've seen in the primetime league this summer and these 10 practices, I'm looking forward to seeing that first box score, because I don't think it's necessarily going to be indicative of what to expect this winter, but it might give you a good idea of what they're thinking. Now, I don't know. I think that Fran's, maybe this season, Fran will have a little bit more mad scientist to him when it comes to putting a lineup out there. Like on any given night, maybe he decides to go a little Joe Madden and do something crazy. Maybe stick a guy in there off the bench or something. And he said a ton of nice things about Nicholas Bear too today, which is no shocker at all.
He's going to have to. He said it himself. They have more low post threats than they've ever had under Fran McCaffrey. So the young guys, the returning guys, he's going to have to mix and match lineups. It's just going to be interesting. And we are so far away from him having to nail down a rotation. But it's going to be interesting to see how deep the rotation goes.
I thought you were finishing up there. Here is Fran McCaffrey and the hyperbole that we've come to expect from Iowa's coach. And I wish we had the audio here. We don't. But he made two comments today about two different players where I think you take it with a grain of salt. One of them, not a whole lot of salt. The other one, I'm talking TV dinner level amounts of salt. First off, he says Nicholas Bear is playing on a whole nother level. That's the quote. Whole nother level.
That just needs a little bit of salt, because I can believe that.
Little bit of salt there. Brady Ellingson hasn't missed a shot in about 3 weeks.
I'm going to need a whole shaker for that.
What are the expectations now among Hawkeye fans who read that? And this winter, does he live up? Of course he doesn't live up to that. He's going to miss some shots. But there you go. Ellingson hasn't missed a shot in 3 weeks.
I just imagine him like now not playing the first 5 games of the season, or playing like 5 minutes a game for the first 5 minutes of the season, and people wondering, well, he said he hadn't missed a shot in 3 weeks. Why is he not playing? But no, I'm interested to see how the whole Connor McCaffrey situation shakes out, because I saw him play last year, and he is a very good basketball player. He's a very good baseball player. I think he can be a rotation guy in the Big Ten and in basketball. I haven't seen him play baseball, but from what I've heard, he is a Big Ten baseball player. So these first 2 years, I wonder if he's going to kind of stick with both of them, or if he's going to focus on one. And I'm anxious to see, because he's going to be on this trip, apparently, this trip to Europe with the basketball team, what he looks like right away as a freshman, as a red shirt, running with the competition that is present in the Big Ten. I think he can do it. I think he could be a, like I said, a rotational guy in the Big Ten at worst, but kind of seeing him on the basketball court during this trip to Europe will be the only time that you'll see him until possibly next year, because he's planning on redshirting this year.
Here was the question that led to a little bit of the hyperbole. The question was, it's hard to replace and replicate what Peter Jok was able to do, but you have to replace those minutes in that position. Where do things stand? Is it two or three guys? I know they're kind of interchangeable. And Fran's response was, well, Nicholas Bear is playing on a whole other level, and he came off the bench, but he could very easily be our starting three man. Isaiah Moss is, as you would have expected, taking another step. Brady Ellingson hasn't missed a shot in about 3 weeks. That's always a good sign. Christian Williams really was playing well. He's backed up a little this week. Last week was the best I've seen him ever, so I'm not really worried about it. I think you can play Ahmad at three. You can play Dom at three. We've got a lot of options there. I think the point you're making is Pete was such a... Anytime you lose a leading scorer in the league, he could get you 30. I think of a couple games last year where we essentially won because of him. That's why he was a first-team all-league, so that's a different animal to replace. We'll get shots. We'll get buckets. We have a lot of minutes. We have quality people. But that guy could make buckets at really critical times of the game. Somebody else is going to have to do that. Other guys could do that, I know, but some of these guys do it regularly like he did.
That's barely even hyperbole.
So my apologies for glossing over the Isaiah Moss is, as you would have expected, taking another step. And Christian Williams playing really well right now also.
I think eventually, I hesitate to say this because we've seen it in the past, and I think people that follow the basketball team, when he makes a proclamation, you do take it with a little bit of grain of salt. And he's excited about his players, so it's hard to fault him there. But with this group, I think we're going to get to the point where you start to see that hyperbole, and you don't have to take it with much of a grain of salt at all. Whether that's this year, whether that's the following year, I don't know. But there's just something about that group. And I think that the way that they played without Peter Jok, I don't ever understand when somebody says that they're a better team without him. No, you're not a better team without the best player, the leading scorer in the Big Ten. But they performed admirably without him. And I think that gives most fans a lot of excitement.
We've got a question on the text line. Someone wants to know if Connor is making the trip. Yes, he is able to go. There was some question with him being a walk-on. And somebody else wants to know if we know what the non-conference schedule will look like for the Hawkeyes at this point. They're going to the Cayman Islands. So
did we ever get to that? Back to that Cayman Islands guy to have him? Oh, no, sorry.
No, we never did get to the Cayman Islands guy to come on the program and talk about the tournament that very few people will probably be traveling to from eastern Iowa. But so they've got Louisiana, which that's the Ragin' Cajuns. That used to be UL Monroe, right?
Or that's the
Lafayette.
The Warhawks, Louisiana
Lafayette,
Monroe.
And now they've rebranded themselves just as Louisiana, the Ragin' Cajuns. And then they'll have either Wyoming or South Dakota State in the Cayman Islands as well. They drew Virginia Tech in the Big Ten ACC Challenge this year. That game's going to be on the road at Blacksburg. They've got Iowa State on the road in Ames this year. Drake is the opponent in the, I'm still going to call it the Big Four Classic. They've rebranded it the Hy-Vee Classic. And then Colorado is a non-conference game. They're going to play that in Sioux Falls on December 22nd. So the rest of the non-conference schedule, probably sometime within the next 2 or 3 weeks, will probably be released. And the Big Ten schedule came out earlier this week, and you know, we talked about that. If Fran McCaffrey was locked alone in a room with a pencil and told to sketch out a schedule, and the Big Ten would take that and put it into the system, I don't think he could have come up with a better job than what the computer actually spit out for Iowa. But probably, you know, playing at Iowa State is a tough draw this year. That's just the way that the series plays out. Virginia Tech, I think, has quite a few guys coming back, right? We talked about that.
They're going to be a good team.
When that draw was announced. That's November 28th during the Big Ten ACC Challenge. And then I think they've got an opportunity at the Cayman Islands tournament. I'm trying to remember the other teams that were involved in that off the top of my head, but when they announced the tournament field, it seemed that Iowa was probably on a collision path with, I want to say it was a Big East team that was on the other portion of the bracket, but maybe I'm getting that confused with Puerto Rico and Iowa State.
I try to get this as soon as possible. The five teams in the Cayman Islands Classic, that would be Richmond, UAB, South Dakota State, and I'm trying to look at the other side of the bracket. This is making for riveting radio, but
well, Richmond is an okay team usually. Buffalo, is that?
Buffalo is also in there.
Cincinnati
is the team out of the Big East. There it is.
So there you go. I actually had something accurate that it was a Big East team. I just couldn't remember which squad it was. So it's most likely you're looking at Iowa and Cincinnati in the championship game. If everything holds true to form there, that's what the folks in the Cayman Islands would like. And that's really, you know, when somebody asks, do we know what the non-conference schedule is going to look like? the games that we listed off, the ones that are publicly known right now, those are the games that are going to matter. Because that right there is six of the contests in the non-conference. So the rest of them are going to be the Campbells and the Nebraska-Omahas, which are two games that Iowa has lost recently. I just picked those two schools out of thin air. My point being, I don't think anybody's going to be blown away when they announce the rest of the non-conference schedule. So, for better or worse, these are the games that we know right now. And, look, I think this team is a dark horse to win the Big Ten this year. I really do. It depends on how the two big guys come along. And speaking of hyperbole, someone's out there listening and they're like, this guy throws rocks at Fran for saying how great all the players are. And he's sitting here on August 2nd talking about Iowa making a run at a Big Ten championship. The schedule, the Big Ten schedule, I think, is tremendously favorable to the Hawkeyes. And if they can stay healthy and if they can get contributions from one or both of the newcomers, which is really the area that they were lacking last year, and you know, one night it's going to have to be Bear, one night it's going to have to be Ellingson, somebody's going to have to step up and fill the scoring void that Jock leaves behind. But it's hard not to be optimistic about Iowa basketball right now. Or Iowa football, for that matter, if you watch the hype video that was released today. We haven't really mentioned that, but Mike Daniels did a tremendous job on that. And maybe Fight for Iowa was a little bit more than just a mobile ticket platform. 5:55, we'll step aside and take a quick break. When we return, Kyle will be with us to remind you about the elegance of ESPN radio programming and more on his next Big Board update. Back with more after this.
Geico presents a voicemail from your friend, Tree.
Tree here, just calling to say thanks for letting me crash at your place the other night. Well, on your place. It was a rough night. I had a bit too much wind, and I think I might have broke your chimney, actually. So, yeah. Any chance you'd want to drop off my tire swing? Yeah. I mean, if not, that's cool. Okay, later.
Trees won't pay for tree damage. Luckily, one call to the Geico Insurance Agency makes it easy to switch and save on homeowners insurance.
It's only 36 days until the NFL kicks off the 2017 season. Don't miss a minute of the action. Get NFL Red Zone from NFL Network now. Every game, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. NFL Red Zone from NFL Network is available on Mediacom. Call 855-MEDIACOM to order now.
Welcome back. Hour number three in the 6 o'clock showdown right around the corner. But first, time for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One with over 40 locations across the corridor. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa women's basketball team got a commitment today from a familiar name, that being Iowa City West forward Logan Cook. She averaged 15 points and 6 rebounds as a junior last season and will continue a Cook legacy in Iowa City. Her father, Marv, was a tight end at Iowa under Hayden Fry, and brother Drew will be a redshirt sophomore on the football team. Former Linmar Lion and North Carolina Tar Heel Marcus Page struck a deal today with the Charlotte Hornets on a two-way contract. The two-way contract concept is new to the NBA and allows the Hornets to hold Page's rights while he plays primarily for their G League affiliate in Greensboro, but also gives them the freedom to use him on the NBA squad for up to 45 days. The Colonels beat the Clinton Lumber Kings last night 8-7 in 11 innings. With Travis Blackenhorn at the plate, a passed ball allowed Joe Cronin to score the walk-off run from third. They also made another move today, bringing in infielder Jordan Gore from Elizabethton, trading places with George Munoz as he returns to Elizabethton after a short stint here in Cedar Rapids. They'll open a 3-game series with the Kane County Cougars today with Evan Sanders on the mound and first pitch set for 6:35. The UNI football team held their media day this afternoon, and we'll hear all about that in just a little bit when Dargan Southard joins us in Hour 3 at 6:35. The Twins played an afternoon game with the Padres today. They won 5-2. And so we have no baseball for you, so you can keep it right here after the show for some cutting-edge ESPN programming.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling.